live in a more dangerous world in 2025. The threat of anti-Semitism, as we have seen, is very real.
So we're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Threats of other occurrences, such as the rise in the far right.
There will come a day that we will see far more radical extremists and terrorists coming out of Europe because of lack of decision-making, trying to be politically correct. I'm sorry, but that's pure ignorance.
Director General of Asia has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well.
Just like Israel, Australia does not have a right to exist!
The government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws.
So why aren't we addressing anything here? Why not here?
When you understand the Quran and you understand that it is a takeover manual of society in the phases.
They have also had the tremendous fortune to travel the world, and as part of that experience, to learn about the goodness and beauty of Islam, how it is practiced every day by well over a billion Muslims worldwide, a faith of peace and tolerance and great diversity. وهناك دراسة عربية في جامعة أمريكية.
The Prophet says, the first thing you do is call them to Islam. If they refuse, then tell them Allah obliged upon you to pay taxation. In return, when enemy comes and attack your country, you don't fight. We Muslims protect you.
In the battlefield, you're giving us jizya, and in exchange in jizya, what can happen is, if an outsider attacks you guys, we're going to protect you as well.
So that's how it works. The imam, out of the Muslim Brotherhood, is the military commander. And he tells you how to vote, and he does it all. And then if you don't flee the town they've taken over as a no-go zone, then they come and they tell you, give us money.
Do you think it's fair to kill me because I got the conclusions right or wrong?
If Sharia law states that, then it should be fair for me.
When you start seeing these imams just suddenly in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Canada, in the U.S., everywhere, saying, okay, our numbers have hit 5, 6, 7% in this country, start killing the Christians and the Jews.
And so make jihad against them.
What is your duty as a member of the Ummah now that you are also an American? It is our physical jihad duty to fight the entire earth until we enter it into the Ummah.
To be honest, for us Muslims living in the West, our jihad is to establish the deen of Allah through all means necessary.
We have had a tradition of toleration. These people are not tolerating us. So you don't tolerate us, we want you out of this country. Right? Because this country is fed up with your, oh, we must be nice to everybody. Well, I'm not particularly nice to people that crossed the border, invaded another country and murdered over 1,200 people.
We just had Benny Thompson, ranking Democrat in the House.
Madam Secretary, you and the gentleman from NCTC referenced the unfortunate accident that occurred with the National Guardsman being killed.
You think that was an unfortunate accident?
I mean,
it was a terrorist.
No, wait. Look, I'll get it straight. Then you can.
He shot our National Guardsman in the head.
Look, Ms. Chairman, will you direct the witness to allow me to ask my question?
You hate me for the sake of Allah.
I hate you for the sake of Allah.
All right.
I hate you for the sake of Allah. Every Christian, I hate you all for the sake of Allah. Any Jew, any Christian, I hate you all for the sake of Allah.
He hates me for the sake of Allah.
You hate these bastards and the other bastards.
Would you kill me if you get a chance?
If we're what, I would chop your head off.
Everyone was just running and there were bullets and there were so many of them and we were really scared.
And then you've got the ultra-leftist police of Australia. I mean, you know, they're total globalists. It's all run by the World Economic Forum, just like Canada, just like the UK. It's the very same system. People are great. They have horrible, evil governments that just engage in mass fraud, theft of the elections. It's just, it's where we're going to be in a few years if we don't turn this around.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
cheap gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the CMOS and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here that we're catching up on, but thanks for jumping on board. Oh man, do we have a big packed outhouse. Big packed outhouse for you. Whatever that means. Folks, we're excited that you're joining us today. President Trump has a very busy day. I'll get to his agenda in just a moment, but today on this show, we're going to have the senator from the great state of Georgia joining us. Mr. Colton Moore will be on the program today. He's got a lot to talk about in regards to Fannie Willis. He was there. He was actually right behind Fannie during yesterday's Senate committee hearing that was going on. So he's got a lot to sound off on that front. We'll also be joined by raw egg nationalists as well. Plus, I'll bring you an update because it looks like Australia just prevented a potential terror attack. We're going to put that out there for now. Looks like there is a group of men who appear to have beards, appear to look Middle Eastern. Apparently, they were making their way over to Bondi Beach. There are many rumors floating around online right now. We don't know exactly what was going on. All we know is that two vehicles were intercepted in southern Sydney on Thursday in connection with a planned violent attack. Now, this was, of course, the police who then rammed their vehicles and arrested seven men. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a bit. We're keeping our eye on that, though, because that is very important. Now, when I look at the photos that are posting on social, I think it's very obvious to say that these men are not natives. These might be some of Australia's latest imports, of course. So we'll bring you the latest on that in just a bit. We'll also bring you the latest on President Trump yesterday, who held his address to the nation. Now, it was kind of, I'd say it was interesting, but there's a couple key points. We'll make sure to highlight for you today, of course, so you don't have to watch and rewatch the entire thing. We definitely went through it and pulled out some of the most critical parts, I think, and I'll play that back for you in a bit. Plus, Dan Bongino has officially announced that he is leaving the FBI as the deputy director. I've got exclusive details you won't see anywhere else, of course. We'll break that down for you a little bit on this program as well. But a lot there. He announced that he was stepping away. I'll tell you who's replacing him. I'll tell you what President Trump thinks. And I'll tell you what you can expect in the podcasting world and all of this. Plus, there's new video of the suspected J6 pipe bomber. And we told you that this was an individual who has some developmental challenges. I think it's very apparent that he does. The body cam footage, because we've never actually seen him speak yet on camera. There's a body cam footage that was just released by Script News. And I think it's very telling. I think it's very telling. As the FBI, DOJ continue to push this guy as the suspect for the J6 pipe bomber, I don't believe it. I'm not believing it. Maybe he was set up. But there's no way this young man actually did what they're telling us that he did. Plus, what the heck's going on over at the White House? The Trump administration continues to have meetings with Qatar. In fact, some of our top officials made their way to Qatar this week to meet and greet their officials. It's so bizarre to me. It's so bizarre. And it doesn't just end there with just Rubio and Kristi Noem. There was others that also made their way. We'll discuss that in a little bit. So a lot to dive into. Let's start from the top of the show. Let's talk about what's on President Trump's agenda. We're going to be waiting, because we'll bring it to you when it begins, for the president's intelligence briefing, which is expected to begin at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. Once that begins, we'll go live to it, of course. We're also expected to see the president around 1:30 p.m. Eastern today sign an executive order. Now, we don't know the details behind that order, But of course, we will tell you, we'll bring it to you as it goes down. And President Trump is expected then later at 4:15 p.m. today, Eastern time, I should say, to participate in a Christmas reception. And then shortly after that, he's actually signing that National Defense Authorization Act at 6 p.m. Eastern time today. And then he'll be wrapping up his evening with the First Lady and participating in the Christmas reception again at 8:15 p.m. Eastern time today. Joe Biden could never. You and I both know that. He would never have scheduled that pact. But I want to bring you some key points in his address that he made yesterday to the nation. Now, folks, if you sat back and watched, it was a good speech. He highlighted and he hit some of his most popular points, which obviously are immigration, the economy, healthcare. We all know it's time for the president to get involved in that healthcare fight now, and he's ready to do just that. So let's go through some of the key moments during yesterday's speech. I want to talk about clip one. Well, the president gave us some overview as to what it was like for the last 4 years of the Biden regime and what it's like now that he's stepping into this role. It's been about a year. And his plans for combating the damage that was done by the last regime. Take a listen.
I think most would agree. I was elected in a landslide, winning the popular vote and all seven swing states and everything else, with a mandate to take on a sick and corrupt system that really just took the wealth from people and crushed the dreams of the American people. For the last 4 years, the United States was ruled by politicians who fought only for insiders, illegal aliens, career criminals, corporate lobbyists, prisoners, terrorists, and above all, foreign nations, which took advantage of us at levels never seen before. They flooded your cities and towns with illegal aliens. They decimated your hard-earned savings. They indoctrinated your children with hate for America. They just released a level of violent felons that we had never seen to prey on innocent. They caused war. They caused mayhem. They caused a horrible situation all over the globe. But now you have a president who fights for the law-abiding, hardworking people of our country, the ones who make this nation run, who make this nation work.
Those are very key points, folks. As many of you guys know, the Third World dumped all of their criminals into this country because, of course, the Biden regime allowed it. They encouraged it. They flew them in. If you're wondering why they were sending out all these private planes to pull in these illegal aliens from third world countries, it's very, very obvious. They brought the worst of the worst to this country for the exact reason we all know. Number one, they want to replace their voting base because they know that they're drastically losing those individuals. Obviously, fraud can't be relied on every single election. They also need individuals who rely on the government, people who are not going to be able to provide for themselves. That's why you'd go to these low, or I should say, poorly educated areas. And you pull in those individuals into this country. Now it's time to begin removing these folks and sending them back to their countries because they do not belong here. They were unlawfully brought into this country. And they do not belong here. That's what the president's up against right now. We know DHS is doing a decent job. Again, I won't tell you it's the best, but the reality of it is they're still limited in resources. You have to expand the courts. That's the reason why the Biden regime intentionally flooded this country with millions and millions of people. We don't even know the exact number. Whatever they told you, double at this point. The reality is they have to go through all of this and try to figure out a way to correct the issue. It's going to take forever to expand the courts. That's my biggest concern here. And that's the reason why Democrats did what they did. Now, it's interesting because in clip two, you're going to listen to the president detail how he's corrected the job-related issues. Many of you guys know the Biden regime actually inflated the job numbers by creating fake jobs, which we all saw. And they also did their best by taking jobs away from American citizens, and that was reflected in the numbers, and giving it to foreign-born individuals. Take a listen to clip two.
Driving up housing costs was the colossal border invasion. We have never been invaded. This is the worst thing that, frankly, in my opinion, the worst thing that the Biden administration did to our country is the invasion at the border. The last administration and their allies in Congress brought in millions and millions of migrants and gave them taxpayer-funded housing while your rent and housing costs skyrocketed. Over 60% of growth in the rental market came from foreign migrants. At the same time, illegal aliens stole American jobs and flooded emergency rooms, getting free health care and education paid for by you, the American taxpayer. They also increased the cost of law enforcement by numbers so high that they are not even to be mentioned. For the first time in 50 years, we are now seeing reverse migration as migrants go back home, leaving more housing and more jobs for Americans. In the year before my election, all net creation of jobs was going to foreign migrants. Since I took office, 100% of all net job creation has gone to American-born citizens. 100%.
That's a great stat to throw out there. If the president could stop and just completely eliminate H-1B visas, too. I'm all on board for this. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We love the fact that these jobs are going to Americans, but we still have an H-1B issue here. The president also has an affordability issue here. And he's been dancing around addressing this issue. As many of you guys know, we had Mark Mitchell on the show from Rasmussen Reports. And you guys know, I love Mark. Mark is a very fair person when it comes to calling out the nonsense on both sides. And Mark tried his best when he made his way to the White House to bring up the housing affordability issue to the president. Now, at first, we heard there was really no tolerance for that type of discussion, because the reality of it is the boomers don't want to see that their houses depreciate. And I understand that. They don't want to lose out on money. A lot of people in this country would have a lot of cash completely be wiped out if we really tackle this issue the way we need to tackle this issue. And that was one of the White House's biggest concerns when Mark Mitchell said he brought this up. Take a listen to clip three, though, because all of a sudden now the president is talking about housing affordability, and this is a complete change from what we've heard previously. Take a listen.
Generating plants, a record, and it's a record that won't be beaten by practically, I would say, by anybody. Or certainly not very soon. Prices on electricity and everything else will fall dramatically. The Democrat inflation disaster, again, the worst in the history of our country, also robbed millions of Americans of home ownership and indeed the American dream. The yearly cost of a typical new mortgage increased by $15,000 under Democrat rule. In 11 months, we've already gotten that annual cost down by $3,000, and it's coming down a lot lower. Wait till you see. The numbers are going to be shocking. And I'll soon announce our next chairman of the Federal Reserve, someone who believes in lower interest rates by a lot, and mortgage payments will be coming down even further. Early the new year, and you will see this, in the new year, I will announce some of the most aggressive housing reform plans in American history. A major factor in driving up housing costs was the colossal border invasion.
They continue to point at the border invasion, saying that that was what drove up the costs when it came to home affordability. The reality of it, though, I think a lot of it obviously relies on the Fed, and he says he will be making that announcement soon as to who will replace Jerome Powell, but I think it's critical here. Also, you know, this president supported, and this is the problem I have, the 50-year mortgage. Remember, and he's posted it several times now, that in his administration he's going to be pushing for, it sounded like, 50-year mortgages, which is good news if you want to pass debt on to your children, if you never want to own your home, which you technically don't if you're paying property taxes. I'd love to see the details as to how he intends on bringing down these housing costs, because the reality of it is he wanted to make sure that those who are currently owning homes are protected from massive amounts of losses, financial losses. But the affordability issue is something that is going to be front and center. It's the reason why so many kids, I mean, I'm talking 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, are sitting here saying, I can't afford to purchase a home. And they're turning to radical politicians, communists, because they are the only ones really talking about this issue, the affordability crisis that we're in right now. Rents is out of control. And I can understand how that you guys want to maybe piece together with illegal aliens. Home ownership, though, he never calls out BlackRock and other companies, though, when it comes to that. He never calls them out. He's playing it safe by blaming it all on the illegals. I don't think it's all on the illegals. I would say out of the list of just what it's possibly causing this massive amount of just the surge in housing costs, the last on that list would probably be illegal aliens. I'm really looking forward to see who he's going to replace over at the Fed, by the way. Obviously, it's Powell, but referring to who he's going to replace him with. It would be good to get that announcement prior to the holidays so we can either really celebrate or maybe not. And speaking of celebration, I want to play clip 5 for you because the president yesterday also announcing some good news for our service members. Nearly 1.5 million U.S. military members will receive a warrior dividend check. Forget this. $1,776 before Christmas. Take a listen to that announcement yesterday.
Tonight, I am also proud to announce that more than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call Warrior Dividend before Christmas, a Warrior Dividend in honor of our nation's founding in 1776. We are sending every soldier $1,776. Think of that. And the checks are already on the way. Nobody understood that one until about 30 minutes ago. We made a lot more money than anybody thought because of tariffs, and the bill helped us along. Nobody deserves it more than our military, and I say congratulations to everybody. And by the way, we now have record enlistment in our military, and last year we had among the worst recruitment numbers in our military's history. What a difference a year makes.
And that's really critical here, folks. That's good to hear. Obviously, very good news. At least he's addressing that issue. Our service members have always deserved raises, and I can't believe the fact that we're sitting here and still looking at their salary not going up. These people are barely getting by. And so, yes, the dividend check, so it'll help for the holidays, but folks, they deserve significantly more, significantly more. The folks over at CNN yesterday weren't very happy. In fact, Van Jones had a very interesting take in clip 6 when he finished watching the president make his address yesterday. Take a listen to that.
Get behind him.
Van Jones?
I am not scared of that guy. I'm not. This is the first time I've seen a Donald Trump I'm not afraid of. He is exaggerating how bad things were. That's okay. He's exaggerating how good things are. That is great for us. That is fantastic. His big threat to Democrats is he was more in touch with ordinary people and everybody else. Yeah, the Democratic elite sitting up here talking big fancy words and, you know, coming up with some new thing to be worried about every day. And he was right there with the everyday people. This is not how everyday people are experiencing this economy or the country. People are scared. They are worried. They see a bunch of things that are happening that seem completely out of control. They're seeing shootings happening all over the place. This reverse migration is happening because rather than going after the cartels, these ICE agents are going after nannies and stuff. So the Latin community is backing off. So this is the first time you've seen a Donald Trump. He sounded a little scared. He sounded a little nervous. I don't know. Maybe he was just going too fast. I don't want to read anything into that. But I think if you're a Democrat who's sitting here tonight biting your nails, is this guy going to kill us, crush us? I think this is a beatable guy next year, and I think he proved it tonight.
Very quickly.
Saying there, and I think what he's saying there is very, very important. Do I necessarily disagree with it? Not 100%. I actually think some of there's some truth in that. There is some truth in that. I don't think things are going well right now for the administration. I think the economy, okay, it's going to take some time for us to feel all of that, so we'll give him some leeway there. Immigration, decent. But everything else, I'm not really excited about. This administration is currently hyper-focused on foreign policy rather than our own policies. And for me, that's pretty deeply, deeply concerning. Actually, let's bring up the Qatar topic here, because this one has a lot of people fired up. Why is this current administration so focused right now on making buddy-buddy with Qatar? Yesterday, we saw Marco Rubio and Kristi Noem, both in Qatar, meeting with officials there. And it's not just them. The FBI director also in Qatar as well. That was early this week. So why are our officials heading over to Qatar, shaking hands, and trying to make this a relationship, an ally? I don't understand it. You know, for all of us who have been in the media side of all of this, the conservative media side, for quite some time, we know that Qatar has been trying to make their way into the United States to try to create some legitimacy. That has been their goal for quite some time, and it seems like they're finally making some serious way into this administration. They're buying access, and it's so obvious. You know, we talked about the plane, obviously. That was a big one earlier this year. Looks like also there's going to be a big chunk of change coming from them in regards to the Kennedy Center as well. And it's not just that. They are continuously going out there and buying access into this administration. It's right in front of your eyes. It's right in front of your eyes. Whether you choose to actually see this or not is up to you. I think this is a problem. I think this is a massive problem. I think it's a problem with all foreign countries too, by the way. But Qatar has been very persistent for years now, even purchasing its way through conservative media outlets, giving them millions and millions and millions of dollars. And all of a sudden, now, well, we have that. Top officials making their way to shake hands with these individuals. We even welcome them into our country with open arms. We've been sitting back and watching for the last few weeks now, and I have to say, I am deeply, deeply concerned. It looks more like Qatar first than America first, I can tell you that much. And although I know members of the administration would strongly refute that, the reality is I don't know what the end game is here. Well, we know what the end game is here, but we don't know how it's going to benefit Americans. I don't see there's a benefit to Americans by working with countries like Qatar. Yes, you can be friendly, but they are more than just friendly, folks. Why are three top officials in Qatar this week? What the heck does the FBI have to do with Qatar anyway? Why would Cash Patel be there? And we all know the prior backgrounds of a lot of these individuals who have, prior to making their way into this administration, have actually worked for Qatar. And again, if it was another foreign country, I would be just as critical. But right now we have a big issue here. Are we America first or Qatar first? Because it's starting to look like this administration truly cares more about building relationships, business ventures with foreign countries. And that is a major, major issue. All right, got more underway in just a little bit. I'll bring you the update regarding that Australia potential terror attack. Multiple people arrest. We're hearing numbers of 7 right now, but this just happened moments ago. So we're kind of waiting for more information to trickle in. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale. It's 60% off right now. Some of your favorite supplements. That includes Methylene Blue, Sea Moss Gummies, and Shilajit Gummies as well. Also, it's 40% off all the other supplements as well. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and stock up today. And remember, every purchase you make over at thealexjonesstore.com goes to help us stay up and running. And we greatly appreciate it when you help us do just that. Go over right now, thealexjonesstore.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss Gummies, and Shilajit Gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our Ultramethylene Blue, that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking Methylene Blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me. Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We've got our eyes on a couple of things going on right now. Specifically, though, in Australia, it looks like they may have prevented another terror attack. Take a look at the footage. These individuals were just recently apprehended. This was just hours ago. So far, it looks like possibly seven men were arrested. Now, obviously, if you look at these men, they are bearded. They are, it appears to be not a native. They look like they come from a Middle Eastern background. Although police have not yet released any of that information. That's just based off of the videos and the footage that's popping up all over social media right now. According to reports, the armed Australian police arrested seven men in Sydney's southwest just moments ago after they received a tip about a violent act that was going to be carried out in the city, still obviously dealing with the Bondi Beach shooting. Those individuals have apparently been apprehended, all seven of them. Apparently one of the suspects has appeared to be bleeding with a gash in his head. And that's just the information we have thus far. But again, we're keeping our eye on this because this is deeply concerning. This is deeply, deeply concerning. Looks like a police SUV had rammed head-on into one of the small white hatchbacks being driven by one of the suspects. And you could see that car as well, obviously dealing with the damage from that. So we're keeping our eye on all things related to that in Australia. We're also keeping our eyes, obviously, here on the homeland. Now, as many of you guys know, Brown University is still searching for the suspect involved in that shooting. It took the lives of two students and wounded several others. It's been an absolute mess, folks. It has been an absolute mess. Brown University not helping out much in regards to letting the public know information about the suspect. They keep releasing footage. It's all just residential neighborhood footage. We don't see anything from this individual who's on campus. It is completely insane. Again, you don't see this person at all. This is all they have. This is all they're putting out, I should say. Not all they have, because I don't know if they have anything else. It's absolutely disturbing that this is what continues to happen, but police are actually looking for an individual in connection to that shooter. Take a look at this photo. They put this out yesterday. And as many of you guys know, Laura Loomer has been all over this. She has been saying that her sources are telling her that this might have been related to Islam. We know that there was something that was shouted out prior to the shooting being carried out. There are rumors, reports that this individual yelled at Ali Akbar. Now, this is the individual they're saying isn't a suspect, but may have actually communicated prior to the shooting with the shooter. So law enforcement is seeking public assistance in identifying this individual seen speaking with the suspect potentially. Again, if you have any tips, 401-272-3121 is the number they're giving out right now. But as you saw, I mean, it looks like it could possibly be a woman. A woman could be wearing a hijab, or it could be a woman wearing a durag. Now, listen, we keep asking these questions because I think it's really important that we get Brown University on the record, because they have continuously failed to give any information regarding the suspect. Now, that's valuable. I mean, they won't even tell you what this individual screamed out prior to opening fire, or even after there's anything said afterwards. Brown University, which is obviously an area that has been completely overtaken by left-wing hacks, provided us with a statement yesterday when we reached out for comment regarding the one person's name who was circulating online. All of a sudden, that person's name has been deleted from their website. This is something that the DOJ says they're looking into, actually, by the way. They were keeping their eye on this. And when we asked specifically the school, just to know some background on this comment before we get into this, they provided us with this statement. When we simply asked, was Ali Akbar screamed out prior or after the shooting, we asked what was screamed out. Was it Ali Akbar, like so many people are reporting? And then we also asked them the individual's name. We won't say their name, who's circulating on social media right now. It's an individual whose information has been pulled down from the website. According to other reports, they've also pulled down a lot of their pro-Palestinian information from their website. So people are wondering, if this is a suspect, why would you go after and pull down their information? Well, we asked that question. Of course, Brown University not giving us much in the way of information on that, saying doxing of a community member in the aftermath of a shooting. We see harmful doxing activity directed towards at least one member of the Brown University community. It's important to make it clear that targeting individuals, they're trying to say it's harmful. And it's not doxing. It's putting a name out there and saying this might be someone. Now, again, I wouldn't do that as a journalist because, again, we don't have proof that this person is a suspect. And you could be sued for defamation for doing just that. So I stay clear of that stuff. But the school itself just gave us a nothing burger of a statement. In fact, this is a generic statement that's being pushed out everywhere. We're seeing social media and in some news reporting, that person's name obviously is what they're talking about. They're referring to it as irresponsible, harmful, in some cases dangerous for the safety of individuals in our community. Again, it seems like they are more willing to protect those part of the pro-Palestinian movement rather than the victims. The victims, everyone who's in that room is a victim. Every student on that campus is a victim. It's 2025, folks. I don't understand how a college campus wouldn't have cameras everywhere. We live in a surveillance state. They know where you are at all times. We know this. The school not putting out any footage regarding this individual making its way onto campus. Now, there's a lot of reports about that. A lot of reports. You know, Jesse Waters has been doing some incredible reporting on this and getting some really important information out there. I want to play clip 7 for you because this is what he said yesterday on his show in regards to the camera footage being missing. Take a listen.
The president, who was a no-show at today's presser, has been heckled for years by Muslim underclassmen. She always bends the knee, but they heckle her anyway. Over the summer, radical left human rights groups demanded Brown disable their security cameras so Palestinian activists could raise hell under the radar. Did they cave? We asked. No response. It's not just Brown. The whole city is a DEI mess.
The whole city is a DEI mess. In fact, the police station is really just a conglomerate of DEI chaos. See, this is what happens when people don't qualify for positions, get those positions, and then you see what unravels. In a time of emergency, they are inadequate when it comes to being able to do all of this, to solve these cases. Now, there was another incredible report that came out during Jesse Waters' show yesterday that, again, I want you to see. Play clip 8.
Gunman, primary person of interest, a suspect, came out of that build, out of that entrance or exit, and started walking this way and passing this dumpster. If you just look around this parking lot and show everybody, there are no cameras that we can see out here, right outside of the Barris and Hawley building. You can see there are no cameras that we see visible to the eye. So that is something that has been a big sticking point in this investigation.
Why wouldn't you put cameras on the perimeter of campus so you can see who's coming on the campus and who's coming off? That's security 101. Here we have surveillance video that caught.
It's pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious. I think these parents, these students actually have a massive lawsuit that they could probably cook up against Brown University. It's pretty obvious that their security failures were intentional. Because it's really hard to believe that nobody actually thought this through. One must wonder, did you intentionally not do this? Yeah, it's probably likely you did. It's absolutely devastating. And it's good news because the media is finally doing their job. You know, in the local press, we rarely find that. You know, I worked in local news, two local news stations, I should say. And for the most part, the individuals who I worked with, although they were very kind and sweet, they didn't do actual journalism. You don't get paid enough to do actual journalism. You're barely getting by. And so a lot of the times you cannot sit there and get actual quality journalists in the room during situations like this. But there was actually an individual yesterday that asked a very fair question in regards to all of this. Apparently, it's a local radio host who is accusing Brown University of somehow, some way, not having the cameras, pulling them off because they're a sanctuary city law. Take a listen of the interaction that was had yesterday when this local radio host in clip 9 decided to confront PD about all of this. Take a listen.
The camera in that building, they Brown put off because the sanctuary city law that we have, you don't want to record illegal immigrants, and you don't want to provide the footage to the FBI or immigration authority. One camera in that building, it come up from your detectives, they are a friend of mine, they're angry at this investigation, that these people in Brown University put the camera out, they can identify that person. You imagine how the family want to go through?
We
tell the truth to the media here.
We heard from both the Brown police chief and the provost at Brown, who have shared that they have been fully cooperative and shared, been forthcoming with all data and evidence that they have.
I mean, you must assume at this point that they're just covering it up. You must assume. I mean, there's no other way to go about this. They're unable to answer simple questions. We're days out of this mass shooting, and they can't tell you simple answers. Those poor families who now have to deal with the fact that their loved ones are dead and the killer is still on the loose. And the worst part about all of this is PD is pretending like everyone's safe. I don't understand how they could say that. But they've gone out repeatedly and said that there's actually no threat to the public. Even though they don't have the suspect, they have no idea who the suspect is, nor the motive, apparently. So that's what they continue to push out there. They continue to say that. Now, again, I think it's pretty obvious what's going on here. Local PD putting a lot of the blame onto the FBI. But yesterday, the FBI actually put out a statement through Ben Williamson. Now, Ben is the assistant director for public affairs for both FBI Director Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. And in a statement, he said the FBI is not leading the Brown investigation. Providence PD is the lead. Now, they're claiming also that the FBI is just playing a supporting role. And Director Patel has surged resources based on whatever the locals request. Now, again, reminder, the individual who he had apprehended days ago, that individual has since been cleared. It's important to note that that was the FBI. It was local PD telling us that they got a tip. They handed it off to the FBI, and the FBI led the investigation to that individual. So keep that in mind. Again, everyone's pointing fingers, but we still don't see the arrest of the suspect. And I got to tell you, folks, it's starting to feel like that's intentional now. How do you sit here and watch what's going on right now over at the police, the local police perspective from all of this, and go, what are we doing here? When does the Fed step in? If there's no footage, we need to know just that. And I have a feeling that there is footage. Take a look at this photo that Providence Police also put out there. I want you all to just, again, look at this. You know, Laura Loomer has been on this one. And again, she continues to tell us that this individual appears to be Muslim. Again, that could be a hijab, that could be a durag. You never know in 2025. But this isn't a suspect. This is the clearest photo we've had thus far. I think we have to blast it out because that's all we have to go off of right now. Providence PD saying that this is their enhanced photo. And this individual is speaking to the individual shown. So potentially talking to the person of interest. So they're looking for that woman, that man. You never know in 2025. You can't assume someone's gender. What a world we live in. What a world. All right, let's turn to something else. Yesterday, it was announced that the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino was stepping down. Now, it's only been a couple of months, but he's on his way out. And there's been several rumors of just that, but it looks like officially that has begun. Posted this yesterday on X. I will be leaving my position with the FBI in January. I want to thank President Trump, AG Bondi, Director Patel for the opportunity to serve with purpose. Most importantly, I want to thank you, my fellow Americans, for the privilege to serve. God bless America and all those who have defended her. Now, I'm told through sources that he's going to be stepping away January 3rd, making his way back to the podcasting universe after a couple of weeks taking off. And he'll be back to his mic in just a bit. We expect that to happen sometime in January as well. Now, obviously, this is very controversial given the fact that he only lasted a couple of months. But what does this tell you when Dan Bongino, a man who was making millions of dollars, number one podcast in the conservative media space, is saying, I'm done. I'm walking away. Now, though, they'll spin it and make it seem like it's positive, and I'm sure Dan won't push back much and criticize those because they're still friends. I'm sure. But what does that tell us, the American people? Dan Bongino walked away from one of the biggest podcasts in this country. He stepped away from it. He walked away. He went to the FBI with the goal, going after the deep state. And after just a couple of months, he's stepping away. I'll tell you this. Dan appears to be in high spirits so far. He sounds like he's doing much better. From what we've seen of him over at Fox, when he does his Fox hits, he sounds very exhausted, but now there seems to be a bit of optimism in his voice when he does speak. I had spoken to him briefly yesterday. We spoke yesterday after this happened. I was alerted by a ex account that he had unfollowed me, and so I put out a statement, also reached out to him privately. So these accounts tell you when someone unfollows you. And so I was made aware that Dan had unfollowed me. Now, obviously, Dan and I would consider us friendly. So it caught me off guard a bit, but it didn't really catch me off guard because for months now, Dan and I haven't spoken. I've reached out to him several times and I have not heard a response. Now, that could be because he's busy. I get it. Probably a very busy person these days. But, you know, I said what I said. Publicly and in private. You know, on this show, I've been critical of the FBI, but I've never taken any personal swipes at Dan because I know he's a man of character. I don't doubt that. I know a lot of people doubt him right now. But folks, he's up against a lot. I don't think that he was given a fair shake over at the FBI. That doesn't mean that I support all the things he's done during his time as FBI deputy director. As many of you guys know, I was very critical when he went after Miranda Devine. Did not like that. Dan's well aware of that. The term deep state Devine was inappropriate. Miranda Devine is an absolute patriot, and I will always defend her because she was the one who brought us the Hunter Biden laptop story while everyone else was a bunch of cowards, including those over at Fox News. And I'm really critical of the fact that there were no major arrests. You could tell me it's a process all you want. But we, the people, don't believe that. Why? Well, we saw what happened under the Biden regime. They arrested hundreds of individuals for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. And hundreds of them were swept into the massive, massive persecution that we saw unravel before our very own eyes. So it's really hard for me to believe that individuals who know where all the corruption is, who have written books on the most corrupt government officials, have not yet made those charges public, have not yet filed those charges against these key individuals. Yeah, you could sit here and tell me all you want that you are working up a big case. Maybe that's what they're doing. Who knows? The leaks only go one way, though. They don't come to me. The leakers go to those who give favorable coverage, who don't. And this isn't criticism of Dan. This is criticism of everyone at the FBI. You see, they go to Fox. They go to John Solomon when they want to drop a report. The tough questions are never really asked when they do just that. And that's the reason why they get it. Now, I have been nothing but fair. I've been nothing but professional in my criticism. Or maybe I was a little mean with Patel for about a day when I insinuated that there's some questionable behavior when he refers to his girlfriend as his life partner. But I've stayed professional considering what the two individuals leading the FBI have said previously. I don't curse. I don't yell. The worst I've ever gotten was screaming out treasonous pig, but it wasn't even directed at either of them. So right now we have this going on right now at the FBI, and it looks like the former AG of Missouri is going to be stepping in and replacing Dan. He is right now the co-deputy director. That is Andrew Bailey. Again, Andrew Bailey wasn't under the impression that that was going to be his role. He thought he was heading over to the AG's office. So that will be interesting to see how that plays out. But President Trump yesterday decided to react to the news. Take a listen to clip 10.
Dan did a great job. I think he wants to go back to his show. Yeah, I
did. A very quick response. Doesn't sound like a raving endorsement. But folks, listen. When Dan decides to go back to podcasting, he always has a welcome, open door invitation on this show. We'll give him a fair shake. We will not be aggressive. We will not be nasty. We'll be fair and balanced and let him respond. So for Dan Bongino, he always has an invitation onto this show. Just throwing that out there. And you know, I will be pursuing that as soon as he officially steps away from his position, of course. Isn't it crazy though? The FBI doesn't like me too much. Even under this leadership, I reach out for comment all the time and rarely hear back. All right, folks, let's bring you an update on the J6 pipe bomber story. There is body cam footage of the suspect. And it's very interesting because for a very long time now, we've heard that this individual was someone who had developmental issues. Brian Cole is his name. He's the individual who has been accused of being the J6 pipe bomber. And we now have some body cam footage about an interaction during a car accident that took place, I believe, in Virginia. Take a listen to clip 17 and how that interaction went.
Is everyone okay? Anyone hurt?
Okay, officer.
Everyone's all good?
Police responding to a Virginia traffic accident in 2024 captured these images of Brian J. Cole Jr. more than a year before federal authorities took him into custody and accused him of planting pipe bombs near Democratic and Republican headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Last in Junction. I was looking for a place that I could, you know, bug onto the next lane.
Cole was driving the blue Nissan Sentra when he rear-ended the truck in front of him.
If you would have left some space, you would have rear-ended the vehicle. Does that make sense? Okay?
Yeah.
A police officer wrote him a ticket that day for following too closely behind the other vehicle.
Okay, so obviously that's deeply concerning, right? You hear him speaking, they have to explain to him why he was wrong, asking him, do you understand? We're going to try to obtain the full footage, of course. But this is clear. This is somebody who I do not believe independently decided to drop off pipe bombs outside of the RNC and DNC. There's more to this story that we're not hearing. It's really hard to believe that this guy is the mastermind behind all of this. They're really trying their best to sell me on this, and it's not working. It's not working. It's not working. Again, folks, I have more questions than we have answers right now. And that's really, really infuriating given the fact that this is supposed to be a very transparent administration. Again, I was told when I said that the criminal complaint that you have brought forward doesn't really sell it to me. I was told more evidence will be coming soon. Don't worry. I haven't seen any more evidence. I'm deeply concerned that this kid, who I know he's 30 years old, but is probably being set up on this. It's very, very likely that that is the case. Now, I don't think it's intentional by our current leadership. But there's something here that we're not being told. There's something here we're not being told. That is not a mastermind of the J6 pipe bombing. That is not a mastermind. I bet you if you were to ask him, too, about his political beliefs, you'd probably find that he doesn't really have those. It's interesting, too, given the fact that, according to his family, he was a DoorDash driver. What if someone paid him money to go drive around and drop off bags outside of particular areas? I never thought of that. I'd love to speak to this guy. I'd love to speak to him. When you're a DoorDash driver, folks, keep that in mind. When you're a DoorDash driver, guess what? People all the time will pay you to drop things off outside of buildings. Was this also one of those situations? It's very, very likely that that is the case. And I'm very, very concerned for this guy. Now, again, the FBI claiming that he made purchases from a year prior to dropping those pipe bombs off that helped construct the pipe bombs. This is a guy who's into My Little Pony. I know some people say that that is a very telling sign as well. But I am not buying this. I'm not buying this. So we're going to keep digging into the story, of course, and we'll bring you the very latest as it continues to develop. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the final days of Christmas sale going on right now. Methylene Blue CMOS gummies and Shilajit gummies are on sale right now. 60% off for a limited time. A couple more hours left in this one, of course. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, all of our other supplements are 40% off as well. And when you become a subscriber, you get 50% off every single month. For life. That is an incredible discount that you will get when you subscribe. And I got to tell you, it's easy to subscribe. It's good to subscribe, but you don't ever run out. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you head on over before the sale ends. It's a great sale, I got to say. All right, more underway in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.